we don't need to chase. We don't need to chase. We don't need to pursue happiness. It's happiness is the pursuit when you understand the infinite, which is the abundant. The infinite means more than enough of everything for everyone, more than enough energy, intelligence, intuition, inspiration, energy, all of these things. We need to, instead of chase, we need to engineer. We need to engineer the flow, because when we operate at ease, elevating our awareness to what puts us mentally, physically, spiritually at dis-ease, obviously our performance increases according to our physicality of handling that ease. Fulfillment will accelerate, it'll aggregate, and it will compound exponentially. And that flow, that infinite, that abundance begins to circulate naturally, all into a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought. I will share with you today, and my friend Blaine will give us the analysis as the best color man in thought leadership. Flow is not hype. Flow is not motivation, and flow is alignment, the identification, the awareness of dis-ease to allow the infinite, the abundant to come through us for others. And when we learn how to create that alignment consistently, every day, persistently, without quit, we will stop chasing outcomes. We will stop attaching our emotions to them, and we will start allowing them to flow through us for others. Blaine Bartlett, the first lesson of flow that we're going to discuss today is knowing the truth about flow and understanding what most of us think flow is, something we feel, and that we create it through alignment when our skills, attention, and challenge meet in the right way. How do you, or what do you consider to be the truth about flow?
Well, the truth about flow, in my experience and in the work that I've done with executives around the world, when we, first of all, set the destination, that begins with that clarity about the destination, and then we let go of it. Then we let go of it. And the analogy that I work with, the metaphor I work with, I've run rivers, since I was a teen. And the river is going to end up where the river is destined to end up. That's the outcome. When I put myself and push the boat off, the river has a current. It has a seam. My job is to find ways to stay in the seam and not worry about the destination. The destination is going to occur. And when I've really struggled, in floating a river, is when I've battled the current. And this is where alignment comes into play. So just thinking about it in terms of that that metaphor makes a big difference. You don't have to do anything except recognize where is the alignment. The alignment in skill, the alignment in knowledge, the alignment in desire. Those three components come into play.
I love it. And understanding the flow, in your analogy, will go to the low, right? All water, all streams, all rivers, all waterfalls, they flow to the low. And the analogous understanding of the flow is that the flow goes to the low, which is humility. As you know, one of my favorite quotes, if not my absolute favorite quote, is you're either humble or you're about to be. And living low is difficult because every time we reach the flow, everything feels effortless. Mm-hmm. All of the dis-ease fades, disappears, dissolves. Even time itself will disappear when we're in the flow.
Right.
In its infinite nature of time, not the man-made construct of time, that will disappear. And it's not accidental. But what happens is when we are in the flow and things are effortless, we forget that we need to utilize effort to stay in the effortless. And the effort that we need to have is humility. We need to stay low to be in the flow because everything flows to the low. And so flow happens as we understand that our energy, our effort needs to be put into the clues, the patterns, and the choices that we make as we become aware of physical, mental, emotional dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use your analogy, we're in the flow and all of a sudden there's a big boulder in front of us. That boulder has created dis-ease. So we need to what? Utilize our effort to make sure that we don't hit that dis-ease. We don't accelerate in the wrong direction. We don't try to go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it. We just allow, as you know, the current will take us around the boulder.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, but we have to have a lot of humility and faith that only exists in darkness. Miracles exist in light, but only in that darkness. How do we identify where we are currently bored because we're in the flow, or we're currently overwhelmed because we're living in dis-ease?
The identification piece has to do, and you're talking about this, with disease, discomfort. It's when I start noticing I'm about a half step short. If I use a sports analogy, things just seem timing-wise to be a little out of phase. And this is where awareness is foundational. Awareness isn't just a nice thing to have. Awareness is absolutely foundational to success in life. And if, you know, going back to the stream metaphor, I want to be aware of where the current is. And I notice that boulder in front of me. I also notice that there's a way that the water moves with that boulder that I want to be able to access that, because that's going to go around the boulder. On the other side, it's a suck hole. It will actually, suck me into the boulder. And if I'm not paying attention, that's where I'm going to have some difficulty. And so awareness, is a large part of this. I can't be aligned unless I'm aware. And this has to do with our next lesson, which is around where does attention go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Attention is huge.
And I've created a flow equation of what I pay attention to and what I give intention to, what I'm doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing. I'm going to repeat that. It's not just what I'm doing. It's what I'm saying. You know, every time we say something, we cast a spell.
Yep.
You think it's a mistake that they call it spelling? We're casting a spell. That's why worry is such a damaging disease to people, because not only is it casting a spell of interference with what we want, but it's casting a spell for what we don't want. Mm-hmm. And so in this equation of what I pay attention to, what I think, say, do, feel, and believe equals the coincidence, the coinciding, the flow then is really not random. It follows a structure that, according to Napoleon Hill, that we can create and repeat with a definiteness of focus plus purpose, a definite purpose that creates a hypnotic rhythm, which is represented in that flow. When you step into this clear objective and you get immediate feedback and you eliminate the disease, we elevate our natural performance. But there's some key insights to flow according to this intention. What have you taught and learned over the years about how to use intentionality, the definiteness of purpose, to create this hypnotic rhythm?
Again, I go back to setting the objective. For the sake of what? So it's one thing to have a why. Simon Sinek talks about the why. All of that stuff, that destination that you're heading towards. More important is, for the sake of what? What matters? And it's that question of what matters that triggers desire. And desire, Napoleon talks about this, desire is absolutely crucial to movement, particularly movement when I find a boulder in my path. I have to have fuel to allow me to move around it. Fuel is a mechanism, or it's a component of movement. Leaders cause movement. Not everybody's causing the kind of movement they need to have to get the result that they say they want. A lot of people, and this, Napoleon talks about this in his book, Outwitting the Devil. We drift because our fuel is feeding something other than what we say we'd like to have. It's feeding our worry. It's feeding our concern. It's feeding our, oh, what the hell, all of that stuff. Desire is a key here. So we want to be able to actually, for the sake of what matters, what do I love? And then that keeps me into the experience of flow. Now, there's another piece to this around the boulder. I'll just use that as an analogy. Flow does not mean easy sailing.
Right.
It really doesn't. Epictetus, one of the Stoic philosophers, would talk about, I pity the person who has never been challenged, because he or she never knows what they're capable of. So the boulder is, you know, the universe's way of saying, hey, step up here. You know, you've got muscles you haven't used yet. You've got insights that you've never accessed before. So I want to treat that boulder as a gift. Now I've got skills and it will test my skill set. And that's where flow actually comes into play. We've got a match between skill and challenge. And that's where the flow state actually exists.
Yeah, and understanding God will not give you that invitation without already knowing your limitations so that you can work through them and build those muscles, the skills, the knowledge, and the desire to be what you must be. If you would like the flow equation of what you pay attention to, give intention to equal those coincidences, understanding the definiteness of purpose and hypnotic rhythm, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Be happy to send you that along with my book. I'll sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. Moving on to lesson number three, beyond the equation of the flow exists the understanding of clarity, balance, or harmony that creates the flow, that creates the infinite. And without the clarity, without the harmony, our energy becomes interfered with. And flow is diminished in its capacity. I just came back from the pro athlete community, and a lot of the current players they'll want to shadow me. So I have them meet me at 4 a.m. and spend the whole day till 5 p.m. until I have my family time. That's a non-negotiable every day. But by 3 or 4 o'clock, these guys are younger than me, faster, stronger, cardiovascularly more fit, but they're exhausted and sometimes even sleeping. And they're amazed at 58 years old, just like people at your age are amazed how much energy I still have. And now energy is infinite. And so I tried to explain to them, look, I spent the whole day watching you interfere with the abundant amount of energy that you're talking to your agent, you're talking to your girlfriend, you're talking to your mom, you're getting upset about business opportunities, you're, you know, angry, frustrated, guilty, resentful, worried all day long. And that's not in the flow. And therefore, you're not using or receiving as much energy as me. Now, if we both should receive the same amount of energy, you learn, like I have over 18 years to spend minutes and moments in disease, there's no doubt that your body can handle and utilize that energy better than me. Your body could do that because you're younger, stronger, faster, taller, and better cardiovascular shape. But most people don't have the energy. They have it in spurts, like on a basketball court or a track or a baseball or football field. But throughout the day, this is the idea of being in the flow. For you, these clear objectives, eliminating the dis-ease, committing to a single task, how clear do we have to be on that task? Or can we have it be a direction or a trajectory? Or do we not know, I want exactly this?
Again, I go back to what we initially started with. I set the outcome. I'm clear about the for the sake of what matters. Then I let go of it.
Mm.
Then I let go of it. It's the attempt.
But letting go doesn't mean not pursuing.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, there is. That's the direction.
You're not high on your mom's couch screaming about it, right?
Exactly. So there's, it's directional and it's fueled with desire. The idea here is, I don't want to be fixated on the outcome, because then I begin losing awareness, situational awareness. And when I lose situational awareness, I'm drifting. I'm not in flow. And that's what I want to be cognizant of. I want to really pay attention to this. So, that whole dynamic comes into play very specifically there. Yeah, and this is the problem with multitasking. And I've worked with a lot of executives, as have you, that are proud of their ability to multitask. It is bullshit. I mean, it really is. If you want to be in flow, you have to be focused. You have to be focused.
Yeah, and I believe you can actually refocus. So utilizing the speed of thought, which is faster than the speed of time, that you can gather enough data with multiple things to focus in on, but it's a developed skill to refocus, and you need a central focus point. So if I'm on this interview, I can still be adding people on Clubhouse, because I'm consistently going back to the conversation, and the speed of thought is so quick that we can develop the skill of gathering enough data so that I have full data on this conversation, but partial data on adding people on Clubhouse to, while we're in this conversation, to the conversation. So we want to understand that focus and the harmony, as you have suggested, not balance, but harmony of the flow, where everything is harmonized to maximize the infinite or the abundant of more than enough of everything, intelligence, inspiration, intuition, energy, even money and time that mm-hmm. can exist in those infinite states. Now, the next lesson I call the edge zone. And, you know, you talked about this earlier that, you know, we have to develop things. And the only way to develop things is to make mistakes and to test ourselves, to live in the learning zone, not the anxiety zone, not the comfort zone. Those will constrict you to a point where you may not even be able to get out of bed. But this learning zone that only can occur by making mistakes, pushing ourselves, taking chances aligned with our timing and risk tolerance. When we enter the flow, we're operating at the edge of our capability. Where is that edge that people should be aware of?
Well, you mentioned it just a moment ago here. There, you know, you start noticing, where do I start to feel bored? I'm not being challenged. Where do I start to feel anxious? All of a sudden, worry crops up. Fear comes into play. Fear is a contractive emotion. So there's a balancing piece here, and it's different for everybody. You just notice where that's at. And part of this is, you know, the nature of the goals that we set for ourselves. The purpose of a goal, and you've heard, you know, our friend, our mutual friend, Bob Proctor, talk about this a lot. Yeah, the purpose of a goal isn't to get something. Now, it's good to get something, but the purpose, the real purpose of any really good goal is to grow. So I've coined this term that I call a growl. And if you're not setting a growl for yourself, which by definition is going to require you to move into places you've never been before, that growl setting is the litmus test that I use to set up the experience of flow in what I'm doing.
It's so good. And in that flow state, it is an expansive state where the comfort zone, the bored zone, is a constrictive state of mind. And so is the anxiety zone. So that edge zone is between the learning zone and the anxiety zone to push ourselves, because the objective of your growl state is to have the learning zone expand out to where your anxiety zone was, your comfort zone to expand out to where your learning zone was. And it's a continued expansive process so that you can be more productive, more accessible, and more great, accessible and more gracious. And if you would like the edge zone exercise and guide along with my book, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. You will continue to stretch yourself and expand into your bigger and better self. Feedback and immersion. A lot of us don't see the clues, the patterns, are not aware of what we're doing to interfere with it. We're caught in the same cycle. Life is about lessons. The lessons keep on coming until we learn them. They're conscious, they're subconscious. We even have an unconscious competency in which you talked about about this genetic and energetic inheritance that can help us with the things that are aligned with where we want to be in the flow. But if it's genetically or energetically inherited, it, unconsciously, we could be interfering all day long as the flow deepens, when we can measure quantitatively progress and stay immersed long enough in the flow to break through the genetic and energetic resistance or subconscious resistance as well. What are some of the things that we can work on to stay immersed in the flow state?
My eyes look outward, my ears listen for, you know, external things. I want to be able to find ways to get a sense of where am I at right now and how am I doing, not what am I doing, but how am I doing with what I'm doing. This is, you know, the idea that feedback is the, literally, feedback is the breakfast of champions. you gotta set a structure up that gives you valued feedback from people and sources that are credible. They're not opinions of people that have not done stuff. They're feedback, you know, it's information from folks that have actually rode that stretch of water before, and they can tell you that side of the boulder, no go. That side of the boulder, that's the one you want to work with.
And I think one of the lessons in feedback and immersive state of flow is that nobody appreciates feedback in the present. Some of us may take minutes and moments to process and appreciate feedback, but it is human nature, anatomically and chemically, to resist feedback.
I love this. Yeah. Do you mind if I give you some feedback? It's kind of like,
exactly. You know, give me some more disease. And but those that can, you know, shift their own perspective of feedback and say to themselves, feedback is like a handful of sand. I'm going to appreciate your feedback. And if the nugget or the kernel of sand or the grain of sand is not aligned with my divine direction, I'm going to let it fall through my hand with the acknowledgement and appreciation that it deserves. But if the feedback resonates with me, which means I feel very strongly that this is aligned with my divine direction, or I feel very strongly this is very much against my divine direction, I want to hold on to it and learn from it. Otherwise, I let it fall through with acknowledgement and appreciation. Coming into the last lesson, awareness, I said, as miracles exist in the light, faith is what exists in darkness. And we have a difference between sight and vision. But we actually, just like engineering wealth, we can engineer abundance. We can engineer the infinite. And in order to do so, we have to identify certain things in the flow, because flow is not something we occasionally access. We are part of the flow. It's what are we doing to interfere with it? I see it as, what are we doing to interfere with? We need to be right. I need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, and worried, just to name a few. But it needs to be something that we embody through identity and daily practice. When you're practicing yourself, which I know you are constantly in the pursuit of your potential, what systems or practices have you built that consistently has put you in the flow?
This is where noticing what I'm noticing comes into play, and that is a practice. I notice what I notice. And if I'm writing, as an example, or doing some research, and all of a sudden I start noticing my attention wandering, or I start getting distracted, what I'll do, instead of trying to fight that, I will actually get up from my desk, and I'm fortunate enough to live on about 11 acres of land out here. I'll just go outside and I'll walk around for a while, just to kind of sort things out, get reconnected to to nature and the flow that nature actually represents. You know, I'll get out in the air, you know, breathe the fresh air, that sort of stuff, come back and settle again. So this is a practice that I've, you know, learned to do. A long time ago, I would fight that distraction. And another thing has to do with the nature of meditation. You know, people will think that they meditate so that they can, you know, I've got this quiet time, I'm going to meditate. I want to be able to meditate in a way that allows me to be still in the center of, in the middle of all kinds of cacophony and all kinds of noise. The practice of meditation has to be transferable into my daily life, because that's where flow actually exists. If I can be the center of the storm, I'm actually in a flow state at that point in time. That's where equanimity comes into play, all of that stuff.
Yeah, the equanimity and harmony. And for me, there's two critical components in that meditation of preparing for the flow. And one is an unwinding routine in which I meditate, in a sense, to put my mind, body, soul in a position to recover while I sleep, but also access information. And then I use theta meditation when I awake to transcend the intelligence, intuition, the inspiration that I receive by being in the flow state while I sleep, and then utilize it to materialize and monetize it each and every day, which is why they call it information, because we're creating that. If you would like the identity of flow, the engineering of abundance exercise and guide, please email me, david@dmelcher.com, along with my book, which I'll sign, send to you, pay for shipping in the book. If you would like the engineering abundance guide, david@dmelcher.com. please email me. And as I finish up, remember, Blaine will stay on for 30 minutes and he will do the Q&A, the Ask Me Anything about engineering the flow of abundance. As we conclude the training portion of it, to remind people that most people chase results. They attach their emotions to outcomes. But what we want to empower you with is the ability to engineer the flow. Because when we operate in the flow, as slow as it goes and as low as it goes, performance recovery will improve. Our results will compound exponentially. They'll accelerate, and the opportunities, the options, and the touch of favor that exists in the flow, in the infinite, abundant, unified system of more than enough of everything for everyone, will expand. Flow actually becomes our unfair advantage. It's a distinction of living in the empty mile where very few people exist. And obviously, there's much more ease than dis-ease. And when we master that state of flow, when we're pursuing ease and stop chasing the abundance, stop attaching our emotions to I'll be happy when, but as Blaine Bartlett teaches us, for the sake of what? We will be, and we will be I am and be what we become, and we will allow that which already exists within the infinite time, in the infinite, abundant, unified system. We will allow it to come through us in the flow to others. So we will empower others to to be happy. And as you know, on my mission to empower over a billion people to be happy, if I can do anything to empower you, to empower others to be happy, that will make me happy. This has been the Napoleon Hill Institute training on engineering the flow of abundance. If you would like the exercise guides or books today, please just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Remember, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.